Blog Talk Radio.
This is Calvin Ward, and I want to welcome you to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast on tonight. Now, on tonight, we're going to be getting into the prophetic. We're going to be talking about the prophetic. I know that's all you hear on the program, prophetic. We're going to go into the book of Jeremiah, chapter 28:29. We're going to talk about false prophets, false prophecy, and the like. I'm going to give you a little bit of this. So invite a friend, sit back, and relax. If you are tuning in to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. Well, I want to say good evening to everyone who is listening to the show on tonight. This is your host, Calvin Ward, and I want to welcome you to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. I want to say a few things. I just want to thank the people who have been listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for tuning in. If you are listening in and you can invite a friend, I would like you to give them a call. Invite a friend to listen on to the program on tonight, as well as invite a couple of family members. I mean, you may know somebody who just wants to tune in and listen to the radio broadcast on tonight. They might glean something. They might get some information. They might become a little bit better, might add to their consciousness, might heighten their consciousness a little bit. So we just want to hear from you. Also, we want you to call in. We want you to call in and let us know how we're doing. Let me know what's going on. Let me know how you like the show, if you're getting anything from the show. I love to hear when people email me and people call me and people tell me, you know, that they have gotten something from the show, that it's been, you know, a blessing, and that we've helped to add to their knowledge. We've helped to add to their spiritual life. So it's always a good thing. What we also want to do here, we just want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ at all costs. And we just want to put out revelatory word by way of preaching, that people may be edified, because that's what I believe the apostles would want us to do, and what Christ would want us to do, and what God would want us to do. Now, one thing I do want to give you on tonight, I want to get into some news here. I ran across some news. I get some news from Dr. Boyce. Dr. Boyce is from Syracuse University, and I get some news from him. It comes to my email box. So for those of you out there who don't know who Dr. Boyce is, look up Dr. Boyce. He's from Syracuse University, and he does like a newsletter, and you can go and check him out, and he will send you information to your email where you get a link to go directly to his newsletter. But there was some very good information there on his site today. In my email, when I say very good, I'm talking about information that we need to know. We know with Florida A&M that there was a lot of hazing going on, which is illegal. So the gentleman who died there, but also there was some hazing going on at some basketball camps, and it was very heinous. And this is with our youth. So he just keeps us plugged in. He just keeps us plugged into some news here. And I'm just going to throw out a couple of facts here before we get started on the show today. We have that, of course, we know FAMU's fired band director. He said the school ignored his warnings about hazing. So I want you to look up that article by Dr. Boyce Watkins. Also, we have a National Honor Society student who was murdered after being falsely incarcerated. I want you to look that up as well. And then, you know, there's another article that says 6 ways that Facebook and Twitter can destroy your relationships. So what I tell people, you know, Facebook and Twitter, you know, once you put something on the internet, it's in the public domain. I mean, you know, it's just in the public domain. Once you put it out there, there's no way you can get it back. So, you know, you just need to deal with that and put that out there. Watch what you put out there, and especially as Christians, you know, watch what you put out there and the information that's out there about you, and you really need to watch up on that identity stuff. Now, moving on into Christian news, what I do want to say is there is a bill that is being passed, and I believe it's called the National Defense Authorization Act. This National Defense Authorization Act is an act that I want you to look up if you are listening. And yes, it is connected to Christianity. It's connected to Christians. You need to know about it. If you are an American citizen, you need to know about this bill. In this, the bill, the first thing that this bill does, we know that now being homosexual in the military is allowed. But another thing is that bestiality was banned in the United States. And in this bill, it would allow for bestiality for people in the military to have sex with animals. So you're talking about a great disease epidemic that can possibly come on or go on in the military. But also, this act, more than that, would give the military the power, and which basically government the power, to be able to indefinitely detain someone under the auspices of terrorism. So this is in the, and including American citizens. Now, of course, the jargon of the bill is trying to connect the bill to Osama bin Laden, this fictional character, how we're going after him. And I know he's real, but understand when I say fictitious, I'm talking about the idea. And people who will be terrorists against the United States, but this could be used against American citizens. And the reason why this should be so strong, this should be so important for those of us that are Christians, is because anything that you can say, or anything that you might say, can be used against you, and it will be used against you. The reason why this bill needs to, you need to write your congressman or your senator on this bill and let them know that you don't want this passed, because it's very important. That means anything that you say that somebody might perceive as being terroristic, they can detain you indefinitely on that. You look across the board, and you can look up the information on the website. There are a lot of jails that are being converted over. They should be shut down and used for other things, but some believe that they are quote-unquote concentration camps or quote-unquote detainee camps that they will be used for. So the thing is, this bill is very important because if it gives, this is the next thing to martial law. And why is this important for Christians? Because, you know, we have a lot of Christians out there who are today, they call themselves apostles and prophets, and we're going to dig into the meat of that word on tonight. And you don't want to miss that. So you need to call someone and listen to this. We're going to get into that word on that. But we have a lot of people call themselves apostles and prophets who are not really crying loud and sparing not. We have a lot of individuals who are talking about money, seed money, blessings, and this, that, and the third. But are they really preparing the spirit of the believer for the times that are to come? Are they preparing the spirit of the believer for the coming persecution that will hit and that is hitting the United States as far as the Christians are concerned? Muslims in this country, they can wear clothing. They can even be in the military and defy the regulations of the military, and they will make allowances for them based on their religious faith. And they want to instate Sharia law right here in the United States. You notice that religion has a spirit of witchcraft, a spirit of manipulation, a spirit of fear, a spirit of intimidation behind it, which is a strong spirit of sorcery coming from the principalities and powers that are in the atmospheric regions over the areas, over the land regions of the Middle East and that whole area, Babylon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, even in Pakistan. And of course, we know about the 1040 window, which is the 10th and 40th, the area between the 10th and 40th parallel, where all the major world religions came from. That is a highly spiritual area. We know, according to the book of Genesis, there are angels locked under the Tigris and Euphrates. There are a lot of prophetic things that are going on. So we know that part of the area of the world, that part of the world is just very spiritual all together. And instead of talking about money, instead of talking about blessings, instead of talking about getting more members and doing videos and all our gospel singers, and you're the princess of praise, and you're the prince of praise, and this one's the king of praise, and this one's going to be, you know, the godfather of praise, all this foolishness, we need to be focused in on strengthening the body of Christ and getting a people prepared to go through so that they would be ready, if needs be, to put their life on the line for what they say they believe and for Jesus Christ. So this law is very pertinent because it is the beginning of a lot more that will happen. If this law is passed, the first terrorists you need to know in the United States will be the preachers. Preachers in other countries, England, Australia, other parts of the country, it's already being perceived as hate speech or a hate crime to speak against homosexuality, or even just to say you don't agree with it. To say you don't agree with it is using or exercising your freedom of speech. But to say that you just don't agree with that lifestyle can be taken as hate speech. And so this is where we have this homosexual agenda and this liberal agenda creeping in. And liberalism, or a liberal agenda, is nothing more than a satanic agenda. It's exactly what Satan wants. It's a political name for a satanic and demonic philosophy that creeps in and says anything goes. Paul put it this way: we should be like the Epicureans. If Christ has not risen, then tomorrow, then we should eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do what we want to do. If Christ has not risen, if Christ did not die, if he is not risen, if he is not resurrected, then we just need to do whatever we want to do. That means because everything is null and void and it's not real, so eat and drink for tomorrow we die. Do what you want to do. Live in an area or a mindset of hedonism. And we know that that's not the truth. We know that Jesus Christ, he died for our sins, and that he rose on the third day and got up with all power, and that he resurrected on that third day, and that he gave power to us, the church, where he gave us the edict in Matthew. He gave us the command in Matthew chapter 28. So he said, all power on heaven and earth is given unto me. Now go ye therefore. And he told us to baptize every creature, teach all nations. And this is the commandment that we have been given to do. And in these last days, we need to be fasted up and we need to be prayed up so that we can begin to come against those who will place their mouth, their will, they will out of everything that they can get in their power, that everything they can get in their hands, they will line it up to come against the saints of God. If this bill is passed, then that's what we will see. You will see preachers who will begin to preach certain things. They will be attacked as far as hate speech is concerned. You will see there will be things that you will preach on that you cannot say. They will try to get you to close your mouth. So what we will see is Christians will be terrorized in their own country. And we are allowing this to happen because we are not fasting and praying, and because bishops and apostles and all these people that get in position, but instead of using their positions for Christ, they use their positions to boost their name, to boost their own generational wealth, to boost the size of their ministry, to get on TV, to get more money, but to get the three P's. I call these three P's power, prestige, and position. And so this is what people want to get. And to those that want to do that, we need to be leery of that. We need to be weary of that. But we need to understand the real story behind Moses. And if we understand the story behind Moses, we talk about the story and how God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel, and they were in bondage for 430 years. But there's more to it than that. If we can understand that story, that story is about a man who's by his birth, he was not worthy by his birth in the earth realm. He should not have been given all the things that he had been given, but God saw fit to save him from the coming destruction, from the coming persecution, and saved him in an ark, or in that vessel that his mom placed him on, the water. We know the water represents the word. His mother placed him in an ark or a vessel on the water. The water represents the word of God, and the water took him to the palace. The word took him to the king's palace, where the king's daughter grabbed him, or the Pharaoh's daughter grabbed him. Now check this out. This was a slave by birthright who didn't deserve it or was not born into it, who was now being raised up in the courts of the king. And so what God did with Moses, he took him with his slavery background, brought him into the court of the Pharaoh so he could learn the ways and the methods, the systems of the world, and learn how they operate, how they deal with money, learn their religions, learn what they teach in their schools, learn how they go in and between doing or concerning the sciences. He learned how they operate, how they take care of duties, how they administrate, how they govern. And so he learned how they govern. And then there was a point until God allowed him to find out what his real birthright or his real blood was. And when he found out what his real birthright was, he was born of slaves that rose up in him. And he began to, that was the beginning of him coming into the purpose and his divine destiny. And he said, this is not what I'm supposed to be. And so when he found that out, the Bible tells us he killed an Egyptian, and we know that that was the denouement or the apex of the story that began his journey into the wilderness. And when he came back, we know that he was strengthened and that God had chosen him to deliver the people. Now, he was chosen to deliver the people. Now, check this out. God took him from a young, God accepted him, God saved him, God placed him in the Pharaoh's palace to learn how they operate, then pulled him out of the Pharaoh's palace, put him in a wilderness where God could only speak to him, so he can deal with himself, then pulled him back out of the wilderness and now said, go back to Pharaoh. And see, what God allows us to do is to go into the world and learn the ways of the world, so we can take those systems and the ways of the world combined with prayer, fasting, and revelation, and then we can use that in order to combat the things that we see going on in the world. How does that help us as Christians? Because right now we need to be praying for our congressmen, for our senators, for our president, and for the world leaders. No other time in history has just about every major nation on the face of the earth has it been made to look like every prime minister or prelate of their country is not able to maintain order. That is not just a coincidence. That has been set up. A lot of people mention the New World Order. A lot of people don't really want to hear about it. But the book of Revelation tells us of a one world leader. In order to have a one world leader, there must be a one world government. In order to have a one world government, you must have a one world economy. And you cannot have a one world economy as long as the United States economy trumps all others. So we know that our economy must collapse in order for this to start or trigger another sequence of events. Earlier on in news, if you've been listening this week, the Euro, European countries are talking about centralizing their economic system. Everything is talking about being centralized because it's going to be a small group of people who control the masses. And ultimately, the small group of people are going to submit their governing powers up to one person. We have this both in Islam and we have this both in the book of Revelation concerning eschatology. And so this connects back to modern day prophets and apostles, where we do not need to be talking about money, talking about life coaching and all of this and that. We need to be preaching directly to the spirits of those who sit under us and those who will hear us, so so that we can encourage them to get into their word. And not only get into the word, you need to know what the word is saying concerning these last days. We need to not only get into it, but fast and pray. And we need to know how to fast and how to pray. And having said that, later on in the next week, I have a copy of Atomic Power with Fasting by Franklin Hall. I mentioned it on the last service or the last broadcast, and I'm going to have that on the website so that if you want it, you can download it. I'm going to be collecting some books in PDF format for free, and if you want them, they will be available there for you to download. Now, let's get into the meat of what we want to talk about on tonight, what I want to talk about on tonight, and it is false prophets. What's going on is any prophet, anybody that calls themselves a prophet who is not talking about end times, eschatological things, eschatology is the doctrine of end times. It's the doctrine of end time prophecy. It's the doctrine of what's going to happen with the second coming of Christ, advent of Christ, so to speak, or when Christ comes back, or as some would call it, the consummation of all things. And that's what it is. So we need to understand what is supposed to happen. What are the signs of the times? If we go to Matthew 24, it will let us know where Jesus said, the same things that happened in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. There are birth pains, and there are signs of the times that we need to be watching for. No man knows the exact hour or time, but we need to be watching for signs that can tell us that the time is either coming or the time just may be near. We need to watch for that. So as prophets, a prophet, the purpose of a prophet, they're supposed to warn. They're supposed to bring admonishment. They're supposed to edify. They tear down, but they build up. But warn and bring prophecy concerning the future. When we look at the scriptures, we will see that God chooses his prophet. If you have a Bible, I would like you to go to the book of Amos. If you go to the book of Amos, and if you go there and go to chapter chapter 7. I believe it's in chapter 7. If you can take your Bible and go to Amos chapter 7, and I want to go to verse 12. Now, I'm going to read this. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 10, and then I'm going to read this, and I'm going to get down to the keynote scripture for this passage that I want to get to. In verse 10, it says, and this is Amos chapter 7, verse 10, it says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, Amos, and we know Amos was the prophet, has conspired against you. Listen to this. This is dealing with kings. This is dealing with politics. Prophets are into politics, contrary to popular belief. I'm going to say that again. Prophets are into politics, contrary to popular belief. And all those who say that it is not their place as an apostle or prophet of God to get into politics, the devil is a lie. You should cancel them, and you should know that the Lord has not sent them. They have sent themselves, no matter what their proofs are. Because we see here in the scriptures, this was the priest who went to the king and told the king and said, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. He said, the land is not able to bear all his words. We know from this that Amos was speaking some things that were hard sayings, as the apostles told Christ. And then it says, the land is not able to bear all his words. Verse 11 says, for thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall not die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Verse 12 says, then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread. This is the priest talking to Amos. And then he said, go eat there, eat bread, and there prophesy. Verse 13, but this is the priest talking to the prophet. Hello, this is the pastor talking to the prophet. See, we have a lot of prophets who are a part of ministries where they're not allowed to operate in their gifting. And a lot of prophets who are in ministries who are not allowed to operate in their gifting, we can see here in here where you would have people running them out saying, look, go leave here. We don't want you prophesying here. We don't want your prophetic gifting. And so that sends prophets out into the highways and byways to allow their gift to be in an area where other people can use it, where other people can take a part of it, but they can be partakers of that gift. But it says here that the priest told him, never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is the royal residence. So we told the prophet, you don't prophesy here in the Senate. You don't prophesy here in Congress. The priest told the prophet, you don't prophesy here in the White House. You don't prophesy here in the house of commons. This is the priest telling the prophet, don't prophesy, because this is the king's sanctuary and this is the royal residence. Now, verse 14 is the keynote scripture talking about false prophets and how to identify that and how prophets are political. Verse 14 says, then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, he said, I was no prophet, nor was I the son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Let me paraphrase that. Amos turned around and told the priest, because the priest gave him threats. He said, look, man, he said, I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't the son of a prophet. I was a sheep breeder, and I was minding my business out here, tending the sycamore fruit. And then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and God told me, go prophesy to my people. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac. Then, from that scripture in verse 16, Amos goes forth to prophesy. Why did I go here? Amos chapter 7, verse 14 through 16, actually starting at verse 10 through 16. This is a good passage of scripture to use in a school of the prophets, and it's just good to use in teaching prophecy and the prophetic, because here we see how there was the prophet, the king, and the priest. And the priest rebukes the prophet and tells the prophet not to prophesy here. That's to those prophets who are in houses where the pastor don't understand your gift. We have the priest or the pastor telling the prophet to don't prophesy up in here. And not only that, he told him don't prophesy to the king, because this is the king's residence and this is the king's sanctuary. So we see that prophecy is political. Prophets are political. And he kicked them out. And then that's when Amos had to tell him, look, I was not a son of the prophet. He said, I was no prophet at all. I was minding my business, and the Lord told me to prophesy. So I have to say what the Lord is telling me to say. And this is what we're going to see in these last days. So to the prophets who say they are not political and they're not supposed to get in political affairs and do this, that, and the other, those are your false ones. That's a key. That is a key principle that you can use to identify your false prophets. But we are in some days today where we're going to have to open up our mouths, and God's going to open up the mouth of the prophet to be able to speak to the kings, the prime ministers, and all of those, because we have to. Not only is he going to open their mouth, but he's going to open their mouth with the backing of creative miracles backing them up. Because as they speak and as they decree and as they declare, God is going to turn the sun, the moon, the winds, the stars, and the lands, and they're going to all rise up in judgment against those who are the aim, or those to whom the judgments of the Lord come to. And people say, well, I don't believe that, you know, because they're just used to prophets saying, I know your phone number, you need a healing, you have a sickness in this part of your body. That's a word of knowledge and wisdom, a word of wisdom and knowledge. That's not prophecy. The prophet comes to rebuke, correct, warn, admonish, build up, tear down, edify. Great prophets or prophets are prolific teachers. They're powerful preachers, but they're prolific teachers. So anybody that you know that calls themselves a prophet, but they can't teach Sunday school to save their life, they need to sit down. They need to go get trained. Maybe God didn't call them to that. You don't need to receive from that. Any prophet that really can't break down and teach with the spirit of revelation and wisdom and understanding behind it, they need to go sit down. The prophet comes boldly. The prophet comes succinctly. The prophet comes clearly. And the prophet comes with the revelation of the Lord. And the word that God gives the prophet is not to tell you who you are going to marry. It is not to tell you that you're going to have a house 2 years from now. The word of God comes to rearrange your spirit and to speak to your recreated inner man so that you can walk in your giftings and release the word on your own life and know what God is doing for you to release you into purpose and destiny. That's what the prophetic word goes to. That's why the prophetic word also goes to kings. It goes to nations. It speaks to the economics, the social domain. It speaks to every area of society. And God has prophets in the economic domain, and he has them in the politics. Hello, Daniel. Daniel was right there in Nebuchadnezzar's temple. So I really don't understand those that say politics is not for the minister. Politics is not for the prophet. That's what the prophet does. In Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 28, these are some of my best scriptures, and I like these scriptures because when we go into these scriptures, we get to see just what the real ministry of a prophet is. A lot of people have painted this picture of the prophet as, oh, you get all the money and you're just well known and, you know, people like to be around you and they just want to sit under you, when it's actually the opposite. You will be by yourself. You will be often lonely. You will be around people and yet be lonely. You will feel rejected by those whom you've known for years. You'll be rejected by those who say they love you. You'll be rejected by best friends. You'll be rejected by family members. If you're married, you'll be rejected at times by your own husband, by your own immediate family, both extended as well. You'll be rejected by those at work. You'll feel alone everywhere that you go. But God does that so you can always lean to him, because you're going to need that trust and faith in him to accomplish the work that he sent you to do. And you're just going to have to accept that. And if you can't accept that, then you need to go to God and say, God, give me something else to do. Because if you don't accept that, it'll drive you crazy. You'll get depressed. And then you will not want to be in ministry. And it can cause, and when you're in a gifting and the Lord has called you to do something and you get an attitude where you don't want to do it, then that gifting reverses itself and you will find yourself sick. You will find yourself going in certain cycles and you'll wonder why. It's because you're not walking in what God told you to do. So better go to God and talk about that than to say you're not doing anything and then have the judgment of the Lord released on you. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 28, we have Hananiah. And I know in my Bible it says Hananiah's falsehood and doom. I want to start at, in this chapter, I want to start at verse 10 in chapter 28, because here, this is a wonderful type of modern day prophet. I call Hananiah an example of a lot of our modern day prophets. And I'll read. And it says, now, for those of you who will be listening to this, I don't know, and downloading this, I'm letting you know, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the John C. Maxwell Leadership Bible. This is the New King James Version of the John C. Maxwell Leadership Bible. Now it says here in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 28, then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck, because see, the prophet was rejected and they had him chained up. And see, he took the yoke off of his neck and he broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, see, people will always want to prophesy when there's people around, but where is that prophecy when you're by yourself? That's one of the marks of a prophet. You'll be in prayer or you'll be in your own meditation, and then all of a sudden you'll get caught up into the spirit and start to decree and declare to the earth and to the universe, because that's still prophecy. Verse 11 says, and Hananiah spoke in the presence of all, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now, verse 12. The word, and this is after Hananiah prophesied, verse 12, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah. Now notice, the Bible did not call Hananiah a false prophet. He called him a prophet, which lets us know there are people with the gift, but just because they have the gift and they're walking in that office, everything that they say is not the word of the Lord. And so you have the battle of the prophets. You will have a prophet who has signs, and you'll have another prophet who is speaking or has signs. So who is from the Lord and who is not? You are to test and try every spirit. That's why you need to be in the Lord. Now, verse 13, he says, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yoke of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Now, that right there is good, because God used a nation in the world to bring judgment on other nations. And then he says, and they shall serve him. He says, I have given him the beast of the field also. In verse 15, then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet. Now, check this out. Jeremiah did not sit back and say, well, praise the Lord. You know, the prophet prophesied. I'm not going to cause confusion. I'm not going to be, quote unquote, what people would say, rebellious. I'm not just going to sit back and be quiet and just pray for the prophet and just pray for the Lord. No, when false prophecy comes out and a true prophet who is in the room, a true prophet rebukes, corrects right there on the spot. Jeremiah didn't sit back and say, I'm just going to pray for them when I get home. After Jeremiah said, okay, now this is what the Lord is really saying. Now he turned around and looked at Hananiah and said, now hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. False prophecy that is received by people is teaching people rebellion coming from the prophet. Therefore, a prophet who is issuing out false prophecies has thus instantaneously become a witch and deserved the judgment of the witch, which according to the Levitical code, you are not to suffer a witch to live, suffer or permit a witch to live. So the moment a prophet gets into the mold where they are prophesying lies and God has not told them to say it and God has not sent them in the first place, see, first if God has not sent them, then everything they say is a lie, then they have instantaneously turned into a witch, a warlock, and a sorcerer, and they therefore incur the judgment of that which they walk in, which is death. And he told them, you shall die in that year. Verse 17 says, so Hananiah the prophet did the same year in the same month. Excuse me, died the same year in the seventh month. So when the prophet released that, it happened. And I have testimonies concerning that even in my own life. People look at you and say this, that, and the third. But I released the word of the Lord, and the judgment of the Lord has rearranged ministries, has rearranged people. Some people say that's not God. But you can't judge what God does. God judges all throughout the Bible. But when it comes through men, people say that's not God. I don't understand that God uses men. Now, having said that, I want you to flip over to Jeremiah chapter 29. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 30, he says, then the word of the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, send all those in captivity, saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite. Because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, and I have not sent him, and he has caused you to trust in Eli. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his family. See, there is a judgment when you prophesy incorrectly, and we see this right here, the judgment that comes on the prophet, Jeremiah 29, chapter 30, because this false prophet prophesied, when Jeremiah prophesied to him, he said, I'm going to punish him and his family. And verse 32 continues on, he shall not have anyone to dwell among his people, nor shall he see the good that I will do for my people, says the Lord, because he has taught rebellion of the Lord. The Bible makes synonymous with a prophet who prophesies falsely, teaching rebellion, because you cause the people to believe in a lie. You cause the people to believe in a lie. I know there was a time with myself, and I tell people this, I said, I've prophesied a couple of times where I have went back to, and it was only twice, where I went back to the person and said, you know, I prophesied falsely. I said, forgive me. And I retracted that word. And then the Lord let me know. He said, every word that you say that I have said that comes out of your mouth, you need to have the confidence behind it. That if I require your life at whether I really told you to say that word or not, would you still hold fast to it? So in other words, every word that you say God said, if he required your life based on the integrity of whether he really told you to say it, would you still be so bold enough to say it? Because we have a lot of people saying God has said when God really has not said. So in chapter 28 and chapter 29 of Jeremiah, we see Jeremiah was a prophet. He was a little bold. And he spoke to these guys. And it wasn't a little bold, but he just walked in the anointing of prophets. Prophets are bold. It's like what? Usually prophets go through hell anyway. So by the time God places them in certain positions to be able to release the word, they're like what? I done been through where I didn't have any money. I done been broke before. I have everything I need now. I'm not trying to live an overly abundant life. It's like, what are you going to do? You threw me in jail. You've done this. You've done that. Look, my life is not my own, but this is what God said, and I have to open up my mouth, for it is like fire that is shot up in my bones. Now, if you are still in your Bible, and I'm going to close this up because I'm going to make this a little short tonight, going on 33 minutes, but I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 13, because a lot of people today, I bless God, and I say this, a lot of people today, you know, that have been ordained as prophets have been ordained falsely, but I bless God for Apostle John Eckhart, who ordained me as a prophet, and the anointing that he walks into, was the prophetic and apostolic presbytery that ordained me. People who have been called to the prophetic should be laid hands on by the presbyters. The presbyters are the collection of elders. The same presbyters are the collection of elders that the Bible tells us if you are sick. That's why a lot of people are sick, because they get their pastor to lay hands on them. The Bible didn't say have your pastor lay hands on you. The Bible said have the elders lay hands on you, which means your pastor and the rest of the elders of the church. So that same group of elders, it should be a group of people that release on you and lay hands on you. And I came from the class where when they laid hands on you and ordained you, they released the prophetic word of the Lord over your life to help to seal your destiny. So it could be said of you, just like Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that was placed in you by the laying on of hand, so you'll have something to trust and rely in. And so being in the prophetic these days, there is a boldness that's about to come of the prophets of the Lord. You know, think it not strange if you're in lonely places and diverse places and you're often traveling, or you're often these crazy fasts that God calls you on, and you're often doing things, and you're like, well, God, what in the world? I didn't even think it was going to happen like this. God is training, and God is preparing, and God is getting people ready for what's to come. For what is to come, a lot of people who have been walking in the old wine, what is to come, they will not be prepared for. There are a lot of prophets that will not be prepared for this that is about to come, but God is building and preparing. In Ezekiel chapter 13, We're going to close this up. But in Ezekiel chapter 13, I like this chapter as well. And I'm giving you these scriptures so you can take these scriptures if you're listening, maybe in your church, if you teach a prophetic class or a school of the prophets. I give a lot of nuggets on the school of the prophets or on the prophetic office and the anointing that people, I think they should really use. I give a lot of nuggets that I really have not heard said in other places, but it comes from experience and being and sitting under some great men and women of God. So I just bless the Lord for that. Take these nuggets, write them down, and I'll say this as well. Just write them down, and you can download, and you can listen to them. You are on air.
Hello?
Hello, you are on air.
How are you?
What's your name? Do you have a question or a comment?
I'm Sam Paul. I was just calling and listening in.
Oh, well, thank you for listening in. We will keep you on the line. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Okay.
Now, continuing on here, Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13, you know, it says, "Woe to the foolish prophets," which is what I have in my New King James. But I like this chapter because it goes in here and it gives the individual a passage of scripture to look at for yourself to kind of itemize the prophet. A lot of prophets tell you they are a prophet because they claim they use their own integrity to prove that. But you have to use the scriptures to prove the integrity of that. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 13. I'm going to read here. And it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those prophets," now this is Ezekiel, not even Jeremiah. He says, "Say to those prophets of Israel who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord." See, the purpose of the prophet, to encourage, to build up people, to prepare them for what's going to come here. He says, he continues on here and says, "They have envisioned futility." The people see futility. They see things that are really not going to come. And he says, "They see false divination," saying, now, these are these prophets. They're seeing foolishness. They're seeing a false divination, saying, "Thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed." This is a word, especially today, and we see it everywhere. We see people who get on TV, prophesy, teach, sow your seed, say all this, say all that. And we have people today. There was Paula White has been divorced. Benny Hinn has been divorced. We know Juanita Bynum has been divorced. I believe Bishop Long is going through a divorce right now. People don't like to name names, but the thing is, how can we receive from you when the same word and power you want to come on us is not even working in your own life? There's nothing wrong with a divorce, but if you're going to be in a certain position, that's why the Bible talks about bishops and certain people who are in high visibility positions in the body, because you cannot be an example if you're not living it. But it says in verse 7, "Have you not seen a futile vision? Have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies." Now, divination. One of the definitions of divination is seeking out other gods or seeking out the spirit realm without the authorization or the purification filter factor of the Holy Spirit. But another word, another definition for divination is also prophesying out of your own spirit without God releasing or giving you anything to prophesy. And it continues on in verse 9. "They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God, because indeed," and this is verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Now, check this out. They build a wall and plaster it with untempered mortar. These are people who tell you it's okay. You know, it's all right. You know, you can smoke, you can drink, you can dance, you can club. It's okay. You can do whatever you want to do. God knows your heart. These are the people that build up walls and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Verse 11, God says, "Say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be a flooding rain, and you, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down." Here we see the prophet And here we see the judgment of the Lord using, now he is using the metaphors of nature, the wind. He used the wind, he used the rain, he used hailstone. Verse 12 says, surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which he plastered it? If you would notice, God sends judgment a lot of times through nature, because nature is the thing that man can't control, and nature is the thing that Satan cannot control as well. Satan can try to control prophecy through people's spirits by possession and demonic oppression and demonic obsession, but he cannot control the power to give life, and he cannot control the wind, the sun, the moon, and the stars. So when God brings a judgment, that is usually the evidence that it is from him when he brings it, and the devastation is usually so great. Now, verse 13, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones and fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall you have plastered up with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. We see this now, that over the years, there are a lot of people. I know if you're going to be in ministry, you're going to have some things happening. But God is tearing down some walls. We see it happening in government. He's tearing down walls. We see it happening in ministry. He's tearing down walls and letting a lot of things be revealed. And once they're revealed, they are exposed to the elements. And then when he sends his judgment through the elements, it all comes tumbling down. And verse 15, he says, thus will I accomplish my wrath on the wall and on all those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it. That is, the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord. God is a God of war. The kingdom of God suffer violence. And those are the violent take it by force. God is a God of war because there is a disbanded group of bandits in the earth realm called Satan and his imps. He is the principalities. He is part of those principalities that are in the atmospheric regions, that are in the air. Ionosphere, troposphere, you know, you got your spheres. They are everywhere. And they are also in your outer space regions, but they are in the atmosphere. And they are here. And they are running to and fro on the earth like vagabonds. Hello, he runs to and fro on the earth seeking whom he may devour, like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. But the Bible tells us what? That the righteous are as bold as a lion. You have to understand that he is here and they are roaming about. They are vagabonds and they are terrorists. And we bring the sword of the Lord, the word of God, the Holy Ghost, and we come into the area and we find them and we bind them up and we restore order and we restore control where there was once chaos. That's what we do with the word of God. And as prophets, that prophetic word is released on a certain level to authorize and bring control on certain spiritual levels. Because once control has been brought to certain spiritual levels, it will then metaphysically manifest in this physical world. We will see it. So everything really begins in the spirit realm. You know, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, what we see. And what we see should be based on what the word says, not what our physical eyes see and not what we think. So we see here in chapter 13, it was a judgment to these foolish prophets who just prophesied. Now, tonight we went to Jeremiah 28. We went to Jeremiah chapter 30, but we've also went to Ezekiel chapter 13, and we also went to Amos chapter 7, and we talked about prophets. You need understanding false prophets. Prophets are political. Anybody that says that they are not, they are a lie. You need to understand the office. Prophets are political. Prophets speak to kings. Prophets speak to politics. Prophets speak to every area of the individual's life. Usually when you see a real prophet, they come and they don't really want to prophesy. What they do is they pray, and out of prayer, what God allows them to do is to channel a prophetic word through the prophetic message that speaks. When that anointing rests and reigns in that room, it speaks to every area of the listeners' or the hearers' lives, so that the prophet really doesn't have to prophesy. Then that leaves the prophet, because people get spoken to in their lives, and when God tells them to do something. I know I've said this before, you know, the prophet only speaks when spoken to. That means I only release a word when God tells me to release a word. But being prophetic, you can see a lot of things on people's lives. So when you go to pray for someone, you can go to pray for them and see a lot of things going on in their lives in the prophetic or in the spirit realm. But until God tells you to decree and declare it as the word of the Lord, you don't decree it and declare it. So that is when you say, you know what, I pray for this over your life. I pray for that over your life. But until God tells you to release it, it is not the words of the Lord. Woe to the false prophets. Watch out for those in this season who do not have the eyes to pray for leaders and these political eyes to decree and declare to stop these heinous doctrines of Marxism and socialism and communism from trying to infiltrate that which has started and which was founded on the word of God. We must fight these things. These are false doctrines. These are the doctrines of devils. These are the seducing ancient spirits, and we need to be able to attack them in prayer. Too many times we focus in on prayer, and as prophets and leaders and pastors, we're trying to get people to be healed, and we're trying to get people, you know, to get their money straight and to get businesses. Time out for all of that. Get people to be saved and get the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they really get the power of the Holy Spirit, that apostolic power of Pentecost as enumerated in the book of Acts, then the Holy Spirit will begin to put everything in line in their lives. There are diversities in the operations and administrations of gifts. So there are prophets who God has called to the local body. There are prophets he's called to the national level and the international level. And I always tell people, you need to figure out what God has called you to. You're alive and you're on the air. You're alive and on the air. Yes, you're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Broadcast. You have a comment?
No, sir. I'm just listening in to the program.
All right. Well, be blessed and sit back and enjoy.
Thank you.
Now, those who have the prophetic gifting, those who have that prophetic gifting, you will find there will be a lot of signs. There are a lot of signs. I guess some people call them symptoms, but you'll find there will be a lot of signs for that gifting. And a lot of times you have to sit back, and it does take a prophet to train a prophet, you know, contrary to popular belief. A pastor can't really train a prophet if that pastor doesn't understand that gifting, you know, and it just operates like that. But in these last days, and again, Jeremiah 28, Jeremiah 30, Ezekiel chapter 13, Amos chapter 7, you want to go in there, and it outlines to you the judgments of the Lord. In this last day, you're going to see prophets decreeing judgment on people, on individuals. Do not be against them. They're doing what God has told them to do. And you need to know that when a prophet releases a judgment and you start to talk about the prophet, because you know, we get on this whole vein of being positive about everything. That's not God. You have your ups and your downs. The Bible says God reigns on the just and the unjust. So that lets us know that the just and the unjust, is why Christ said the poor will always be among us. It exists. You're not going to have all positive. And if you think all positive all the time, we're easily deceived and easily manipulated. That's why the world just lets Christians do whatever they want to, because they know you're clueless, you're airhead. We don't do anything because we don't understand there's a battle going on. And we need to be strategically prophetic in how we wage our warfare. Generals and how they use their method of operation and their avenues of approach into going to the enemy, and how they map it out, and they map out what they're going to do and what units they're going to send in and what resources they need, so they can combine all of that to aim it at the enemy. And that's in this season what God is also releasing. He's releasing people to gather their business tools, gathered up all their gifts over the years that they have used and that they have had, and now they're all of a sudden going to pop back up for business and for cutting hair. All these gifts and talents are going to pop back up in your mind, and he wants people to put those things together so he can network the kingdom of God. Funding is going to be necessary. There's a spirit of unity, especially now. Now ushering into the new year, God's going to be joining and unifying people across all sorts of barriers, across ethnic barriers and as well as across denominational barriers. And so you're going to hear prophetic words and see prophets and people come that you know never have heard before. But when they release the judgments and they release this word, people need to take heed to that word. You need to hear that word, because there are judgments coming on this earth. And hearing and knowing what prophet that you really need to take serious and know people that you really need to take heed to, other, you know, that you really need to listen to, is going to help you go around and in between some things in your life. And you know, for those who are not prophetic, listening to a prophet helps you. You know, you listen to your pastor, but listening to the prophetic anointing helps those who are not called to the prophetic. That's why there are prophets, so that prophetic aspect of the Godhead can be released and received in the body. And those who are not privy to it can also partake of it. What we're going to do right now, we're going to go on a quick break. I want to thank you for listening in. We're going to go on a quick break. We're going to play a quick song here. I want you to sit back and listen. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. Invite a friend. I want you to tune in. If you have a comment, go to the chat room. If you have a question, you can call 619-393-6183. Again, you can call 619-393-6183. 8483. Let us know what you think. You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast.
Everybody.
thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. This is your host, Calvin Ward. On tonight, we are talking about the prophetic. We are talking about being ready for the prophecy that is to come. Being understanding prophecy and preparing yourself. And recognizing the true prophets and apostles. Because recognizing them makes the difference in what you hear from the Spirit, whether it is something that you need to follow or not. But I want you to stay tuned. You're listening to the Strategic Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I want to thank you for tuning in with us on tonight. And before I go forward, what I'm going to start to do is just give you some different tactics. And what I'm about to tell you now is coming out of a book that I've mentioned on the show. It's called Annihilating the Host of Hell, The Battle Royale by Wynn Worley. And what I'm going to read from you is some tactics to rout out demons for those of you who still believe that they do exist. And I'm just going to read and give you a couple of nuggets from that. We're going to get into the show, and then we're going to close out. Now, some tactics for routing out the demons. Excuse me. Leadership. We're going to talk about leadership during deliverance time. Leadership during deliverance time. There are five things here. The first one, too many people commanding spirits at the same time gets confusing to all, especially the person being ministered to. So that's one nugget that I've always practiced. If you're casting out a demon or you recognize that somebody is dealing with a demon, if they're at the altar, it's always nice to escort them to another room. And always nice, at least to have two people there. If it's a female, have another woman with you. If it's a male, have another male. But it's always good to escort them all so they won't interrupt the word of God as well. And plus, it gives you free reign to do what you need to do. And casting out the devil and the demon in that session won't interfere. Number two, leadership will often shift as the Holy Spirit directs. So you need to be cognizant of that. If you're praying and the Holy Spirit leads someone else to begin to pray, then you need to be in the Spirit and shift that the Holy Spirit directs. The worst thing that I've had happen is to have the Spirit shift leadership in a demonic session. Then you have leaders dealing with each other, and it just causes that demon to get worse. So if you don't have spiritual people who are humble, you can cause that demonic session to turn into something else that it doesn't need to be. And then you have leadership who can probably get possessed, because if you have leadership that is arguing in there, usually there is something else that is between that leadership that caused that to be there. Three, pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the authority of Jesus Christ will be manifested through this body, especially the leader. There needs to be order. Everybody that's working on casting out demons need to have been trained or at least recognized by the pastor and given the authority to do so. Demons automatically know people that are out of order or in sin. And if you're out of authority operating and doing that, you're placing yourself in danger and you're placing the whole session in danger. Verse 5, as implied, God will often work through his chain of authority when given. We need to be in a chain of authority when dealing with demons. And the last set of tactics I'm going to give you are some practical suggestions of preparation before and during deliverance. One, if the noise of manifesting demons might be a problem, for example, in an apartment, have pillows available to muffle out noise in there. Let me tell you something. I want you to listen to this. I'm not advocating covering of anyone's face, mouth, orifice, or anything with a pillow. You can, now what this is saying is your doors, you might have a space under your door, you might have a window you need to muffle. That is what needs to be done. Number two, have paper. Keep files to enable active follow-up on people you are regularly in fellowship with when you discern the strategy of the demonic hold in each person. Write down scriptures brought up during deliverance, as well as write down spirit to discern, which may not be dealt with when discerned. So you need to remember, when you're in a session and demons come up, write the name of these demons down. Because if you deal with a person today and only cast out two of their demons, you need to know what you're dealing with when they come back in there for another session. And knowing that person and keeping a file of their bio is just like counseling. Demonic casting out demons in strongholds is just like counseling. You need to keep a file, you need to keep a name, you need to keep it on record, and you need to keep those records confidential, and you keep that for the records of the churches for protection of all individuals involved. Number three, have paper towels and tissues for the spirits that lead through the mouth, nose, or by tears or ears. Now, you know demons. Demons like to lead through bodily orifices. They like to lead. So you might have someone throw up. You might have fluids coming out of different orifices of the body. You need to be prepared for that. Four, sit close together, often with one person on either side of the one receiving ministry. You want to surround. You know, you want to surround, so you want to be tightly knit. Verse 5, do not pray alone under most circumstances. You can never be sure what violent manifestation will occur, and it is good to have at least two people praying, since discernment is the body ministry, and it will be shared between those ministering. You're always good in the multitude of counselors. If those that are doing the deliverance are doing the deliverance, you can still have a group of people in the back praying and interceding. And lastly, avoid men ministering alone to a woman without another woman present, and vice versa. You're opening up the door. Again, those were leadership during deliverance time tactics and practical suggestions of preparation before and during deliverance, brought to you from Annihilating the Host of Hell by Wynn Worley. And now, to close up this session, I just want to just let you know again, look, these are the last days. You need to really identify those who are prophetic from those who are not. You really need to be watching the news. You really need to know what to pray for. You can't have a prophet and you don't know what's going on in the world, but you always got a word from the Lord concerning something. Are you even watching the news? Do you even know what's going on? And yes, God can give it to you without you watching the news, but it's good to get an eye on what you need to be praying for, especially when it concerns the people of God, knowing that the systems of this world and the enemy would love to get into the minds of those who are in charge so he can bring bondage over the people of God through the laws of the land. This is why we need to pray against bills, charters, legislations, and all policies and anything that could be passed to bring bondage on the people of God. We need to be able to walk in the spirit of discernment in these last days. We need to know our word, and we need to watch those we listen to, because, beloved, believe not every spirit. Paul warned us of this, and more than ever, the words of these apostles and what they walk through are going to come alive off these pages, as we're going to need to take heed to it in this day of false pastors, false apostles, false leaders, false prophets, false teachers, because they come into churches, and you'll never know they're there because they're in sheep's clothing. So I want to thank you for listening on the broadcast on tonight. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want you to take this. You can post this on the internet. I want you to go to www.pcjg-ministries.com. If you go to that website and you click the RSS feed, it will send you to the Strategically Prophetic blog. I want you to go there. You can leave notes. You can ask questions, and I will respond to you. Or you can go and contact me and send me a note, and it will get to me. I want to thank you for listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. We will be coming to you every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Tuesdays, we'll be doing a live Bible study at 7 p.m. live every week. Go to the website and go to the blog. And thank you for tuning in, and thank you for listening. You can download this message in MP3 format, and you can repost this to any website that you would like. I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. You be blessed and you be encouraged. And don't just be prophetic, but be strategically prophetic. This is Calvin Ward.